Blog Talk Radio.
What up, what up, what up? This is a recruit with Adrian Reese, and you're tuned in, brought to you by Soar Radio. Big ups to my man PDP for giving me this opportunity. And once again, we're back Thursday in the place to be. And to start it all off, as always, I want to go to God in prayer. You know, like I said, like I always say, just welcoming God into what's going on right now, because it's because of him we're here. So everybody who's listening, I ask you just bow your head and let's go to God in prayer. Lord, we come before you today, God, first of all, saying thank you. Thank you for who you are, God, who you are in our lives, Lord, your faithfulness, Lord, for constantly providing for us, Lord, for constantly showing grace and mercy towards us, Father God, when we're so undeserving. We thank you for it, first and foremost, for that, God. We ask you for forgiveness for all of our sins, all of our wrongdoings, everything that's not in line with your will, God. We ask you to just watch over us, Father God. Watch over this show. Watch over everything that's said, all the questions that's asked, all the answers that are given. Ask them to just help them to be inspired by you, inspired by your word, God, and just help everything, whatever that's said on tonight, to bless someone. Lord, we know that your word doesn't go out void, and we know that that doesn't just mean Bible verses, Father God, but just words inspired by you, Lord. And we ask that it just allows whatever is said today, allow someone to come to know you, Lord. If they don't have a relationship with you, Lord, that they come to know you, Lord, or they get to know you better, Father God. Give them a better understanding. Give us a better understanding for you, me, and my guests, Father God. As you just continue to do what you do, do your thing, Lord, and we look forward to it, and we expect unexpected blessings. In your son Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen.
And I'm excited about the show, and I know I say that line every single week because it's true, and I'm not blowing smoke. It's true. I am. I'm excited about it, and because God orchestrated this. He put it all together, and so I'm excited to see what happens just like everybody else. But I got a special guest on with me today, Mr. Michael C. Craig. But he's a good friend of mine, a good friend of my family. And I grew up, I grew up with him. He's a year older than me. He was really good friends and best friends, still is with my older brother, who's a year older than me. But just in walking behind him, in a sense of seeing him and seeing the life that he lives and always has, and just how he always put God first. He always acknowledged God. He always reverenced God. Even, you know, we were teammates in high school playing football. And I can remember a pep rally when he was a team captain. And he went up to the mic. And the first thing he did was he gave honor to God. And just how, I mean, how powerful that was to me. And just everything that he does and how he's continued to live his life is just, it's been a He may not know it, and I didn't know it at the time, but just even him saying that at the pep rally, that showed me, okay, it's possible to still be an athlete, let alone a young man, and still show reverence to God, still live for God. And, you know, at that time, he was recruiting me to Christ. Just like so many others, he was recruiting me to Christ, and he didn't know it. I didn't know it either, because my mind was the furthest thing away from Christ at that time. But I look back on it now, and it's something that still has an impact on me. It's something that I still cherish. But with no further ado, I'd like to welcome my man, Michael Craig. What's up, Mike?
What's going on?
What's man, up? What's good up? To have you.
Yeah, I'm glad to be a part, man. It's an honor. It's definitely an honor, man. Counting all joy. Yes, sir.
And now, I've given a little brief description of you, but go ahead and tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, my name is Michael Christopher Craig. I was born and raised right here in Longview, Texas, and I basically enjoy a lot of things. I am currently a licensed funeral director in the state of Texas. I also manage Craig Funeral Home here in Longview. And, of course, in my spiritual walk, I'm a minister of music. I help coordinate the music at my dad's church as well, as Woodland Hill Church of Christ here in Longview, Texas. And so that's just a brief little, a brief little bit about me.
And so you say, you know, that's a brief little bit, but it said a whole lot. You know, it gave a little quick bio. But you said, like you said, your dad is a pastor at Woodland Hills Church of Christ in Longview, Texas. And so how long has your dad been a pastor? Or how long do you remember? Has he been a pastor your entire life, as long as you remember?
Yeah, he was. As a matter of fact, we just celebrated his 40th year in ministry this past August.
Okay.
And so he's been in ministry preaching the gospel for 40 years. But I would probably I think he started pastoring somewhere probably about seven or eight years after he began the ministry, his preaching ministry. He's been doing it quite a while.
He's a vet.
Yeah.
And so it's basically been preaching your whole life. That's all you've seen.
Mm-hmm, basically, right.
And,
mm-hmm.
And so growing up in, I'm the son of a preacher also, son of a pastor also. And so growing up in that household, in that type of environment, how was that for you? Did that really instill, I mentioned in the intro that about the pep rally and how you reverence God first of all, and how you did that on a regular basis. Now, was that did that have a lot to do with just the way you were raised and in the household you were raised in, and that was just considered the right thing to do?
Right. Yeah, definitely. Of course, it was definitely an influence on my life. I feel like, I definitely cherish everything that my parents have done for me. I don't take it for granted, and I believe that it helped me in my walk even now. But, of course, even then, even at the pep rally, and it's funny you mentioned that, man, I had forgotten about that, man, and never thought much about it. I felt like I wanted to make a statement because at the time, of course, they were kind of separating God more and more out of school, if you remember, Adrian. I felt like, through my dad's teaching, always around church and always, knowing about God and loving God, I felt like at that time I needed to make that statement, even being just a little high school football player. So, but yeah, I think being a preacher's son definitely had, influence on all of that, I believe. Yes, sir.
Now, in high school, like you said, you always wanted to let it be known. Now, were you ever told at any point that you talked about God too much or that you were too spiritual when you were in high school or growing up?
No, not really. I think, of course, being a preacher's son, and I'm sure you've experienced that too, about when people know that your dad is a preacher, they automatically call you preacher boy or preacher or whatever, So no, I don't think people really ever said that to me, throughout school. So, it just was more of a, to be honest, in high school, I wasn't saved until after high school. So truly saved. I don't think I talked about it as much as I should have been. So I guess I kind of feel bad about that. But at the same time, no, it never was told that I talked about it too much. Maybe not enough. I fought myself at that. But maybe not enough,
Now, you say you weren't really saved until after high school. Now, growing up, what does being saved mean to you, and what does it? How has it changed now? What does it mean now?
I'll try to make that short because I could talk all day about my past knowledge, and if that makes sense. Being saved when I was growing up, it basically meant it meant to be a part of a particular named church. That was the doctrine that was taught then. And so being saved then was, where you were a member of the Church of Christ. not bashing the Church of Christ in any way, not at all. I feel Church of Christ to this day, you know, but that was really what was being considered being saved back then, you know. When, but of course, fast forwarding until now, what I know, it's not about the place or the name on the building, in my opinion, based on the teachings of Jesus. It's not about the name of the building, but more about what's in you, and how serious your relationship is with Him, as opposed to a certain building or section of people or whatnot.
I was just gonna, you know, I agree, you know, how you were saying it's not about the affiliation to a certain church or a building, because that's something that God's really been opening my eyes to. Because, you know, I've been getting kind of caught up in that also. Like, you know, so many times we recruit, you know, and the title of the show is Recruit. We're all recruiters for Christ, but we recruit, but a lot of times we're recruiting people just to the building.
Right.
We're trying to get them to come to service.
Exactly. Right, and that was really, and I'm sorry to cut you off, but that was really the whole gist of it then. It was only just to recruit to, they were only recruiting to the doctrine before they showed you Jesus. And so I believe that hindered, I guess, me being as spiritual as I could have been early on, because I really didn't know why I was doing what I was doing. I guess it was more of a, you know, as far as the doctrine side of it, I was indoctrinated, as they say. So, try not to go too deep on that, but you know.
No, I feel you, man, because like you said, it was before instilling Jesus, more so it was them trying to get you in.
Basically
trying to get us into the building, and I say. And it's really all of us, and I still see that. I find myself kind of doing that now, inviting people to my church. You know, I do it with a sincere heart, but at the end of the, you know, it's not about them if they come to my church or not. I just want them to get them to Jesus.
Right.
And whether that comes from, you know, doing it right then and there, whether we're in the park or we're at work or we're in a Starbucks or whatever it may be. But I just want to get them to Jesus. But it's not about the building, because if Jesus is in Church of Christ, Jesus is in Cozy Church, Church of God of Christ, or Baptist Church. And that's something that I've been watching you. And like you said, you are Church of Christ. And that's something really I knew nothing about that denomination. I really knew nothing up, because I had never, I didn't grow up in the Church of Christ. I grew up Church of God in Christ or Pentecostal Church. You know, one thing, the major thing that I noticed when I first went to you guys' church was, hey, man, ain't no music.
No instruments, right?
no instruments. And I'm like, man, that was a huge part of church. Service, like, well, how they have church and they ain't got no music? For you to say minister of music, I'm like, okay. But I have ended of it now. But when if we didn't know, you know, the Church of Christ, they don't have instruments. You know, they have music. Everything's done a cappella. Everything's done with your mouth. And you mentioned how you are the minister of music. And so how does like you said, you grew up in the doctrine of Church of Christ, and you guys did instruments. So was that kind of strange to you when you saw other churches using instruments?
Of course, because growing up, they, you know, it was taught that it, you know, that was, you know, oh, that's not right, or it's wrong, and but honestly, I believe what it boils down to, It's mainly, based on my study, it's mainly a preference, because using an instrument for worship won't get you automatically into heaven. and not using one or not using instruments won't automatically get you in. So it's all, like I said earlier, it's all about the life that you live and the relationship that you have with God more than our rituals on Sunday. Yeah, of course, it was definitely, and even growing up, you know, people would come and be like, y'all ain't got no music, y'all ain't got no instrument, you know, stuff like that. So,
mm-hmm.
As you said, you know, you had the same, you know, thought process as when you first, you know, came. But I feel like it's a preference, you know. I feel, like I said again, it's all about what's in you. It's all about what you're doing and as a relationship to God and with God. That's really what it boils down to, in my opinion, and based on the teachings and the study of what I feel as God really, really wants for his people, you know.
And I agree, you know, I agree wholeheartedly. That's what it boils down to, what's inside you, the wall.
Right.
You put feet to your faith.
Right.
And how, you know, you really played a big part, just like I said, in you being of the Church of Christ. And
mm-hmm.
That really opened my eyes to how denominations shouldn't separate believers, because we're all worshiping
mm-hmm.
the same God, just in different
right.
ways. And
right.
now, how has your view on denomination changed over the years?
Yeah, as kind of I touched on it earlier, you know, I feel like denominations is basically the definition, or in short, is a, you know, religious section of Christianity or whatever it is. But you know, denominations were, you know, created or man made, you know, so I just feel as I said earlier, I believe God wants us to be more concerned with what we do outside of the walls of our denomination or you know, different churches and whatnot. He's totally more concerned on our outreach more than what we do for that hour and a half on Sundays. I can't help but allude to that, but it's all about everywhere you see in the Bible. He's traveling with disciples. He's moving around everywhere he is. He's moving around, outreach, touching people, preaching on how to be saved, and then mention, you know, rituals and, oh, you got to do this or you're wrong. Yeah, of course, he made specifically clear what it takes to be saved, and so. You know, a lot of denominations, I'm not, you know, of course not knocking any denomination. It's all about your upbringing and what you were raised a part of. But I believe, like I said, I believe the main thing is to just focus on Jesus in any denomination. He is the common denominator of them all, of every denomination. He is the common denominator of each and every denomination. He should be.
And he should. And it makes me think about, you know, with everything going on now, and, you know, I want to be careful about this comparison, but I think
mm-hmm.
it's kind of parallel.
No, that's all right. That's all right.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like race. You know, we
mm-hmm.
look
right.
at different
right.
races, and we look
mm-hmm.
at different races, and there are stereotypes that go
mm-hmm.
with different races. And we
right.
look at different combinations, there's
right.
stereotypes.
Same thing.
Over different nations.
Uh-huh.
But, and, you know, when we hear Baptist, we're like, oh, man, you know, Baptist do that. Or we hear, you know, Kojic, Lord, you know.
Right,
they that. But it kind of has the same undertone of
right.
Different races, to where at the end of the day, we're all human beings.
Right, exactly.
But
it's
you know, our race is not necessarily man-made. God created us in the race that we're in and the ethnicity
mm-hmm.
that we're in. But at the end of the day, out of who we are, just like we're proud,
mm-hmm.
you're proud to be Church of Christ.
Right.
And proud to be, I'm attend Baptist now, but I was raised.
Right.
Well, I'm proud of that. But at the end
mm-hmm.
of the day, I still know that as long as we're all believers, just like as long as we're
go.
All here, that's uh-huh. that common denominator.
There you go.
Because at the end of the day, the common denominator of Jesus Christ created us all.
I felt like to sum up what, you know, my denomination of back in the day, I felt like we missed the mark. Our intentions were definitely good. A brief little quick history. Of course, back in the 60s, 70s, and whatnot, the Church of Christ was the fastest growing denomination in America. And so I feel like our intentions were right, but it's like we missed the mark somewhere. And we're very judgmental. Back then, we were very judgmental people and very just dogmatic. And as I said earlier, it was leading people away. It was pushing people away more from Jesus. It literally was, you know. And so, I felt like we missed Matthew 7:1. It says, simply judge not lest you be judged.
Uh-huh.
So, in other words, I cannot worry too much about the next person. Of course, yes, you do want to, you know, help your brother out, of course, when I can and when I need to, you know. But I can't, it's hard enough keeping myself in line. So I can't be too concerned, if that makes sense. I can't be too concerned with your salvation because we're going to be judged individually anyway. So that's how I always looked at the whole general picture of once I so-called saw the light. You know, that's pretty much my synopsis for that all.
Mm-hmm.
And not be as judgmental, you know. So.
Well, and I agree, and I think what you my understanding of what you're saying is that you know it's an individual affair. You know,
right.
But we have to focus on our Christian walk,
right.
And not, like you said, it's not saying you don't care about your brother or the next man. But you can't be so in detail on how they're walking in Christ.
Uh-huh.
All you can do is share the gospel with them and
right.
make sure you, so that you're light. And
right.
that's all we can do. That's all we can do. And so I want to ask, when did you get serious about living for Christ? You mentioned before, you hit on it before that you didn't really get saved or get serious about after high school, but what brought that about?
But I came to a realization. It really was probably about 2006, 2007. To make a long story short, I'm bad about telling long stories, but to make a long story short, when I started, I also play the piano as well, and so when I started going to church with your brother, with Damien, and I started you know playing in different churches and realized, and I would actually listen to, you know, everything that was going on in service, and so it made me realize I started actually really seeing what living holy or what holiness really was, you know. So it was that those times that I spent with you guys and all of that, and those were eye openers for me, and I honestly feel like if it had not been for the Reese family and everybody, you know, there I possibly would not have known what holiness or to see the true example of holiness of that. Not, and of course, and as I say again, and I hate to keep alluding to it, but it just that wasn't focused on holiness and holy living and living a holy life wasn't focused. It wasn't a main focus back when I was growing up. Of course, we were taught to do right and to live right, but just that literal focus on what it really, 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 really meant, if that makes sense. I believe that opened up my eyes. That opened up my eyes and started really, you know, understanding. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah, and it was like more so, you know, it being seen, an example in front of you. And,
right.
You know, like, I know your parents are an example, but you've seen it
definitely
with other people, someone
right
other outside of your parents. Because
right
I can attest to how, you know, sometimes as a kid growing up, we look at our mom and dad like, oh, yeah, that's mom and daddy, though.
Right, right.
Like, that's what they do. And, you know, of course they do that, but everybody else, ain't nobody else doing that.
Exactly. And to see other people doing it, right. Right.
Uh-huh. And see people, see other people putting feet to their face.
Right, and exactly.
Just, not just talking a good game.
Right.
And quoting scriptures and, you know, you, and I can remember, and I can only imagine it was the same for you, you know, growing up, and even now you hear these scriptures and you read scriptures and you read God's word, and you literally know what it means, but, and you hear people speaking it and quoting it, but doing the exact opposite. And if that's what we're constantly, what is constantly in front of us, it makes it, it does make it a little bit more challenging to actually do it ourselves.
Right.
Because
right
that becomes yeah acceptable and the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And it becomes that much more challenging for us to walk it out.
Mm-hmm. True. True.
And so, like you said, you it came about, you really got serious about Christ when you started visiting different churches and kind of seeing, okay, it's something to this, you know, and how you really saw that it was about what holiness really meant. Like you
right
saw the practicality of it, how people
right
do it in their everyday life to where
right
it's not just pulling verses or standing in the pulpit and preaching, but it's
right
just, hey, you know, loving your neighbor or being
mm-hmm
kind or just the things that necessarily are not in the Bible word for word.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember, and I talked to you about this on yesterday, I can remember a time when I was in college, and every time I came home from college, you know, I would stay, that's when you were living with my brother, Damien.
Mm-hmm.
You guys were living together, roommates, and I would always stay with you guys for a week or so whenever I came home. And that was back, you know, keep in mind, this was back in my BC days, so I was out there doing
before
doing everything.
Christ.
Yeah. I was out there doing everything I wasn't supposed to and had no business.
We
to
all.
But
mm-hmm.
I can remember one night coming home, coming to y'all's house, and, you know, we used to always play the Xbox. And you were up, you were
mm-hmm
playing the game. So I came in, I sat on the couch, and we started playing the Xbox together. And I can remember at that time, I wasn't sober. I'll just put it
mm-hmm
in like that, in those terms. And I had been drinking, and I had been smoking. And so, you know, I'm kind of being vulnerable right now. But at the end of the day, man, this is what I want people to know, that, hey, it's real. And
mm-hmm
I had been doing my thing, and I remember coming in and sitting on the couch, and I'm thinking to myself, okay, I hear you talking, and you started talking. You just randomly came out the room. I was like, man, I can't stand, you know, drugs and smoking and all this. And I'm like looking, I'm like shaking my head, like, man, oh, man, here you go. You see me over here in my condition, and now you want to preach to me. And, you know, this is what I'm thinking in my head. But when I brought it up yesterday, you were like, man, I never knew that. You know, that was the
yeah
last thing on your mind. But
yeah
and when you said that, I'm like, man, that's amazing, because just like you said and hit on before, that was simply you living, exhibiting holy characteristics when
mm-hmm
it was just in the everyday setting. It wasn't
right
you throwing scripture at me, throwing the Bible down
right
my throat. It was just
right
you stating your claim and how what I was doing was contrary to what I should be doing.
Right.
And that
right. No, I was just gonna jump right in and say, you know, everybody, I definitely had my BC days, you know, and I'm a work in progress even now. But of course, you know, I when you mentioned that yesterday, I felt bad because I was like, oh, man, I hope, as I said earlier about the judgmental deal, I hope I wasn't being judgmental, because I don't remember how we got on that or however that night, But I do remember. I think I alluded to that, but I was in no way trying to be judgmental because, hey, you know, like I said, I'm not perfect, or even then. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. It could have been like as you said. Maybe it really was a sign from God, because
I believe to
this day. Mm-hmm. Well, I was saying I've never smoked, you know, drugs or weed, whatever. So, you know, not doesn't make me any better than the next man. But I guess that was maybe a subject of that night, and I brought that up and was like, man, I just don't understand why people do it, because I don't do it, you know. And uh-huh. So that, like you said, that was probably just a sign of God, maybe helping you through that, you know. Everybody, but, you know, as I said, everybody has struggles. Everybody has, you know, and everybody realizes or accepts the fact at different times. So I hope I wasn't too harsh.
You weren't harsh at all, and you know I didn't take it like that then.
Right.
But right. It was kind of like one of those deals where you know you're guilty, and
right.
anything anybody
right.
say about it, you already have a guilty conscience.
Right.
And so anytime anybody says anything remotely close to it, you're like, oh man, they talking about me. It's kind of like going to church and the preacher talking about lying.
In the sermon,
like,
yeah.
Why he's preaching? Man, you preaching right to me. You ain't have to do me like that. And,
yeah.
But it's not. It wasn't you talking directly to me. It was just you stating how you felt. But
right.
I know it was God because I still remember that everything about that night to this day.
Right.
And
right.
God placed me in that position. He positioned
mm-hmm.
me there in order to position me here today.
Right.
And
yeah,
I can see that now in hindsight, but I didn't know it then.
Right, man.
But it all happened because of you being in the mind state you were in, and you having
mm-hmm.
the being raised the way you were raised and taught the things that you were taught to where what's in you came out.
Right.
And it wasn't within in a verse, because I wouldn't have heard it if you were throwing a verse at me.
I got you. I got you. That's powerful. Yeah.
And so it's just another illustration of how we can preach without being in the pulpit. We can and putting to our faith. You were just simply putting feet to your faith. You were exclaiming and stating what you believe, and that's
mm-hmm.
all it is. It's just being convicted about what you believe and not backing down, not wavering.
Right. Right.
And that's all living for Christ is. I mean, it's not that you don't, like you said, you didn't consider yourself, and you still don't consider yourself better than anybody else who have done those things.
Right.
But you don't waver in the fact you don't do it.
Right.
And that's all that we can do. And, you know, I find peace in that, and I'm quite sure you do too, and find peace in the
mm-hmm.
fact that, you know, being faithful to God, God is faithful and true to take care of his own, and he
mm-hmm.
honors those who honor him. And, you know, you mentioned earlier about you being a minister of music and over music at your church, and now last year you released a CD entitled
mm-hmm.
Thank You, which is available
right.
on iTunes. A Thank You by Michael C. Craig, you know, throw that little plug in there.
Appreciate it.
But you released a CD. Now, what inspired you to do that, and how did all of that come about?
Yeah, I felt like it was long overdue. I had people, a lot of people, would always, you know, request music, and I never really wanted to make a CD or whatever. But it was really my cousin Dexter who just like beat me up one day verbally. He's like, man, you got God done bless you with all this talent. Man, put some of that stuff on wax, you know, and just, that's a shame, you know. And so he just beat me up that day, and I was like, okay, I'm going to quit being lazy and just do it. And I never wanted the artistry of it or the artistry side that comes with CDs and, you know, traveling and things like that. You know, I still don't want that. You know, I just felt like the songs on that album meant something to me, and I feel like they can minister to everyone, and it was just mere compilation of a bunch of songs that I love and just felt near and dear to my heart, and I felt like it was just time to do that, and you know, God opened the doors and you know, everything fell in place. So, you know, it's just a little listening album, I call it. So,
and this is, I mean, this, I say it's a little bit more than that, just because when I first bought it, I mean, I listened to it nonstop every day. And,
oh wow!
I mean, it really blessed me. And like you said, it was your cousin Dexter kind of pushing you and nudging you in that direction, mm-hmm. and pointing out how, you know, God bless you with all of this talent, with
right,
all of these
right.
things, all of these tools. And I would think, you know, even the people around you to help it come to
right.
pass.
Right.
And, you know, like you said, that was just, those songs were how you felt and what was on your heart.
Mm-hmm.
And by you sharing that, I can speak personally, that encouraged me. And I can remember
wow.
calling you and texting you whenever I first listened to it and telling you, like, man, you know, that really encouraged me. That really inspired
right.
me. Seeing you, somebody I knew, somebody I grew up with, like, has a CD. Like on iTunes, and that inspired me. Like, if he can do something like that, I can do it, because he's
right.
from where I'm from.
Right.
And so all
right.
it was, you know, all you simply did was obey the leading of the Spirit,
right, right,
and walk in your gifts, and act
right.
in your gifts. And by you doing that, that inspired me. Now I can't speak for everybody else, but that inspired me enough to where it was. And you know, I'm being truthful in saying this, that when the opportunity was presented to me to do this radio show, I said, nope,
mm-hmm.
not do it. Want to?
That's how I was, yeah.
And, you know, I had a Moses moment. And,
right.
And so, but then, you know, as I started praying about it, I stopped myself and I said, well, God, if this is what you have for me to do, I'll do it. And I prayed
right.
about it. I prayed about it for a while, for about 2-3 weeks. Before responding to it, but I prayed about it, and then praying about it in that time, in those 2-3 weeks, God brought back to my remembrance of you doing this CD.
Wow.
And I'm like, that's something that Mike did that really is above and beyond the norm.
Mm-hmm.
And so if Mike, and how I felt when I listened to your CD, and I went back and listened to it again, and I still listen to it, I love the song Come On Jesus. And that's something that I listen to when I'm feeling down, because I'm thinking in my head, Jesus, I need you to come on. But
mm-hmm.
at that moment, having a come on Jesus moment, and that brought me back. And it's just amazing hearing your story behind why you did it initially. It was just you,
right.
that was, you were just sharing your heart. And that's just something that it just encouraged me even more to continue to walk in whatever God puts on my heart, because
mm-hmm.
seeing how that was something, that CD was something he put on your heart, and how it blessed me. And I don't know what God puts on my heart, how it may bless someone else, or you continually to walk in your gifts and in what God has entrusted you with. That's,
right.
I mean, I'm sure that CD has blessed so many. It probably blessed that.
Right.
It
right.
doesn't.
Right. Yeah.
And to see you doing it, you know, that inspires
mm-hmm.
him that, hey, he can do greater. And
mm-hmm.
and there is no...
That,
no.
Mm-hmm. No, I was going to just throw in, I was going to say, that brings a story to mind, which is actually on the you know, the acknowledgement in the CD, on the CD cover. But my grandmother really had, I credit her for initially starting me off into music. I eat, breathe, sleep, and love music to death. And I credit her, because on the credits, there was a particular time when I was at church with her, and I was asked to sing, you know, to lead songs or whatever, and I refused
uh-huh.
to. I, at the time, shy or just didn't want to. And so on the way home, she was like, that's all right. God gonna take that gift from you, you know. And so part of that was playing along with, you know, part of that was was in my mind with Dix and everybody, you know, and I was like, man, the gift of music that God has given me, so thankful for it, and here I am holding it all in. I felt that. I heard that voice of saying, like, you know, feeling guilty for maybe holding in, not the greatest talent in the world, but just a gift from God, you know, that needed to go out. And, man, and to know that it touched you the way that it did makes it all worth the while, man. It makes me feel so good, man, that it was able to do what it's done. So I credit my grandmother Mary Louise Jones. I have to credit her in putting that fear of God taking the gift, because he'll tell you, as the book says, he'll tell you to take your gift. He definitely will if you don't use them for his purpose and for his glorification.
So. Mm-hmm. It won't come to its full potential.
Right.
You know, because the Bible tells us that gifts come without repentance. You know, that exactly. Basically means that there's no, God doesn't pick, okay, I'm going to give you this, I'm going to give you this. It, you know, God freely gives his gifts, but if we're not cultivating our gifts, they're not going to grow. And they're
right.
not going to get
exactly.
better. Just like any skill we have, if we're not working
right.
at it, we're not going to
exactly.
get better at it. And that, you know, that's kind of what your grandma was saying to you. And it got the point across. And I'm thankful for her, you know, just like you. And, you know, that's a blessing, and I just encourage you to just keep doing what you're doing, man. Keep walking in it. Keep using your gifts for God's glory, because at the end of the day, it all works for good, and I'm sure that it's inspiring so many more than you can see with your natural eye. Just
right.
like you didn't know how it touched me, but just keep doing that. And you know, I wanted to make sure to ask you, you mentioned before that you're a manager at Craig's Funeral Home, your family's funeral home, and Longview, Texas on Green Street, shout out. You've been around around funerals and that business for a long time. And so how has that job shaped your view of life, if at all?
Right. It helped me to value the little things. And then it also helped me to take advantage and make the most of my time while here on earth. That's why, you know, part of it, you know, it was just pressing on me to just always to live for Christ, because like I said, you want to make the most of your time while you're here. And it also helped me to realize that, just like I said, life is short, and you just never know. You never know when your time is coming, so you have to always be ready, and to stay ready. You know, because like I said, we just never know. We never know. We hate. I know. You know, people. We hate. Most people hate to really talk about death and to. You know, discuss it or just anything that has to do with death. People are just so afraid of death, but it's inevitable. And so we all have to come to realization of that one day it's going to happen. So will you be ready is the main question. And so I do everything in my power. Of course, I'm like I said, I'm a work in progress, not perfect by any means, but I do everything in my power to stay ready each and every day. By continuing to die daily to myself and pushing God forth as the forefront of my life, and just trying to continue to live and strive to live as the best that I can for Him, and I pray to God, you know, that everything, when my time comes, that I will be ready for that. So it. Like I say again, being around it, I think, is a blessing. I count it as a ministry as well. I feel as though it helps. Most, you know, funeral directors are here. You know, everybody, they say, oh, it takes a special person. But I feel like I enjoy helping people in such a difficult time. You know, that's really what I get out of it. is to help people smoothly transition in that time or in that time of their lives. So I take pride in funeral service and being a server for this community, a servant for this community of Longview and, you know, the surrounding areas. But definitely count it as a joy to be able to help anybody, help any and everybody during this time, during these difficult times.
And that's I love hearing that, because you're exactly right. You hit the nail on the head just in saying that, you know, we must be ready. We don't know when that time will come. And, you know, when every time you turn on the news, you see something. Whether it's, you see ships wrecking. You see planes crashing, planes getting lost, and all of these things happening. And, you know, you never can be too careful, regardless of all of our efforts of men.
Right.
That our time will come, and we don't know when it'll be. And I just want to take this time to extend the invitation to anybody who may be listening. If you haven't accepted Christ into your life and you're not ready, and I just want to extend this time for you to welcome Christ into your heart, surrender your life to Christ, and just allow him to do what he does and begin the perfect work within you. And just like Michael said, you know, he's still a work in progress. I'm still a work in progress, and we will never be perfect. But we should be striving to be like Jesus, to be like Christ. And Christ is the only perfect human being that's ever walked this earth. But knowing we will never be like him, we should always continually be working to be like him. But I just want to take this time to offer, to welcome anybody who wants to accept Christ, to just repeat this prayer with me and welcome God into your heart. So let's go to God in prayer. Lord, I come to you confessing that I'm a sinner and that I can't save myself. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross in my place and for my sin. I know I now am trusting him alone to forgive me and give me the gift of eternal life that he promised to give to anyone that came to him for it. Thank you, Lord, for saving me, and help me from this day forward to live a life pleasing to you. Amen. And I want to be the first to congratulate you. I want us to be the first to congratulate you and welcome you to the team. You know, welcome to the squad, because you're not in it alone. And Michael, I know you can attest, you're not in it alone. You like you said, you're still growing. And but you're not growing by yourself. There's people around you. There's a community. There's a community of believers that help us in walking it out, in putting feet to our faith, in going forward and living a life pleasing to God. And with the title of this show being The Recruit, and it's because every day we're recruited for something. Every day we're being recruited for something. Whether it's, you know, you're a little kid, you're recruited to play kickball on the playground at recess, or you're older, you're being recruited to go to school, go to college, go to the Army, or you're recruited to join a gang. You're being recruited for something, whether good or bad, but there's no better team to be on than on God's team. There's no better coach to play for than for Jesus Christ. There's no better teammates you'll find than the team that you're on, than to be on God's team. And with every commitment, there's a verbal commitment, first of all. There's a verbal commitment that happens, and that's what you just did if you just repeated this prayer. But it's not binding until you sign on the dotted line. And you sign on the line in the life that you live every single day, in putting feet to your faith and walking it out. And it's an everyday thing. And, you know, you don't have to do it alone. You don't have to do it alone. You're not meant to do it alone. God didn't intend for us to do it alone. He told us we are just a mere part of this whole body called the church. We play a part. And so every part of my body, I need every part. I need my toes. I need everything in order to function properly. So we are all important in this body. And I'm just excited, man, because like I said, welcome to the squad. We just got stronger. We just got stronger. And, Mike, I just want to I thank you for being on the show, and I just want to ask you if, you know, just if you have any words of encouragement or advice to anybody who's walking, trying to walk it out, or finding challenges in being a Christian or just in everyday life. You know, any words of advice for somebody who may be in your shoes or where you were in not really seeing holiness and understanding what holiness was. You know, do you have any words of advice for anybody?
I just believe that you just never give up. Never give up on this journey. It's going to get hard. It's going to get tough. Those that just repeated the prayer, that's when it just begins. The tests and the trials are going to come. And each and every day is a test and a trial. So I just want to encourage anyone out there to just continue to seek his face. As I said earlier, die daily. Pray. Have a strong prayer life. Prayer will change everything. Mm-hmm. Pray about everything, each and every, any and everything. And God is able to do what he said he's going to do. But I just believe that if you just never give up and just keep close, stay close to him, stay in his will, and I believe the sky is the limit. Definitely believe that.
And that's it. And I agree. You know, stay strong, never give up. You heard it from Mr. Michael Christopher himself. You know, don't give up. Stick with it. Because at the end of the day, like you said, it's trials and tests will come, but never give up. Never give up. Because at the end of the day, you're fighting a fixed fight.
Yeah.
God has already paid it all. He's already won. We already have the victory. So we can find peace in knowing, hey, I'm fighting a fixed fight. I already know the outcome. So just never give up. Just like Mike said, never give up. And Mike, I just want to thank you for being on the show. And if I wanted to get in contact with you, how would we go about contacting you if we had any questions or anything of that matter?
I'm on Facebook periodically, but you can hit me up on there, Michael C. Craig. And just search, of course, under the search in Facebook. And my email is craigmack7205@live.com. That's craigmack7205 at live.com.
There you have it, craigmack7205@live.com. Hit him up on Facebook. And I definitely say go check out the CD. Go download the CD. It's entitled Thank You by Michael C. Craig. You won't regret it. And if you never really heard acapella music, hey, it's the best one to start with. And you will come to really appreciate it. And it's, like he said, it's from his heart. It's from his heart, and it's God-inspired. So definitely go and check that out and support him because, like we said, he's a part of the team, and I support my teammates. And we all support our teammates. But I want to just thank you. Thank you, Craig. Thank you, Mike,
man,
for being on the show.
Bro.
Thank you for everything you share, for just sharing your heart, man, just taking the time out to be on the recruit and to just play your part and just sharing your testimony and your story because that's what it's all about. And for everybody who accepted Christ, may have accepted Christ tonight, or anybody who's listening and just wants to be a part of the show, hit me up. You can hit me up, send me questions or send me ideas and suggestions for the show because this is our show. It's about us. I want everybody to be involved because this isn't my show. God gave it to us. We're all recruits for Christ because that's what the word tells us, to go ye and make disciples. He said that to us all, not just me. And so you can hit me up. You can follow me on Instagram and Twitter at soul, S-O-U-L, underscore fisherman, at soul, underscore fisherman. You can hit me up on Facebook. Find me on Facebook, Adrian Reese, or shoot me an email, Adrian, A-D-R-I-A-N, at adrianreese.com. That's Adrian at adrianreese.com. Hit me up. Send me questions, whatever it may be. Just holler at me. Let's be let's stay connected. Let's get connected and stay connected. And, Mike, again, I keep saying it, I want to thank you for being on the show, man. I enjoyed it, and I'll definitely have you back because you're a constant inspiration to me, and I just appreciate you. You're like a brother, man, and I just want to say thank you once again.
Man, I appreciate you again for the opportunity, man. Definitely appreciate you.
And I'd just like to say you've been tuned into The Recruit with Adrian Reese, brought to you by Soar Radio. And we'll be back same time next Thursday. And until then, be blessed and be real.